Okay. I'm going to turn this over to Bob Lindbergh and let him talk a little bit about the different urban designs and how we're going to select what we're going to want.
You might be able to see this a little bit better. This is the Turbine Platform Design
on the side
as research initiative, but it would be the slide a little bit better. I'm a structural engineer, almost 20 years experience. Been in Maine working for just about all that time. Started off building bridges with the Department of Transportation. Came to the University of Maine 15 years ago and have been doing research and development on experimental bridges, boats, and now getting into wind. And when we're designing something and trying something, either bridge technology that's been out there for a while or new R&D technology that we want to demonstrate, it's imperative that we do this as safely as possible. We're putting hardware in the water, putting bridges out for people to use. It has to pass the utmost of safety tests. So we need to understand and know what's going on with it as we design it and before we deploy it out there. The offshore oil industry and the offshore engineering industry has years and decades worth of data and design guides and design models for offshore oil platforms, floating oil platforms. And it really, they understand and know how structures behave really from the waterline on down. So these are the general types of structures. There are many varieties of these types of floating structures, but the general types of structures that the offshore oil industry uses right now. There's a barge. Buoyancy stabilized. It means it floats at or very near the surface. And it's stabilized just by its mass and its size. This is a spar. It's a very long tube. This is almost like taking a 2x4 and putting a weight on the end, and it stands up and floats vertically. Very, very long, very low center of gravity, and also very stable. This is a tension leg platform, and it's a floating platform that floats out on the surface. You hook up moorings, and then you pull the platform down below the surface so that only the pole is sticking out. This kind of really covers, there are many iterations between this, but this covers the design space. A lot of companies have been using this. They understand how it works, understand the hydrodynamics, and have good models for this. Above that, we've got the turbines. Land-based turbines and now offshore bottom-mounted turbines have been studied for years and years. And likewise, we have models, we have data, we understand how those turbines behave under different wind loads on land. Now what we've done, working with the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, we've taken design models for wind turbines and coupled them together with computer design models for these floating structures. And now we have a design model for floating wind turbines. That will cover all this space. The one trick is, it has not been fully validated. We don't have full set of experimental data, test data, that tells us that these models, when they couple together, work and work well. So the first step we're going to do in this research is we are going to be building models, small-scale models, probably where this rotor diameter would probably be about 6 feet, about 2 meters. So this would be roughly a 1/50th scale in geometric scale. And the tower would probably be 6 to 8 feet. Build these models, put them in a wave tank, and the wave tanks could be Texas A&M, Oceanic Lab in Newfoundland, that simulate ocean waves and simulate ocean wind. We're going to put them in the tank, and we're going to test them. We're going to blow wind on them, we're going to simulate waves, and we're going to try to look at how they move and how they react and correlate that data with models so we can verify that our numerical models, our computer models, are working. Once we do that, the second step is going to be to take those computer models and pick and design and pick a one or two or three platform types that would be suitable for the ocean environment here off of Maine. We've got a buoy that's been out right outside the test site here since, I believe, 2002. Fairly soon, we'll be putting another buoy right in the middle of the test site to gather more wind and wave data. While we're testing these models, we'll study the wind and wave data. And then once we have our design tools in place, we're going to design the best platform to go out here and be looking at a partial scale, a roughly 100 kilowatt scale platform that we would fully design and build and deploy out here on site. The 100 kilowatt platform is represented, this is really a representation of that. The turbine diameter of this platform is about 70 feet, roughly. The height would be on the order of 90, 100 feet. And these are very ballpark guesses right now, because this will be the first 100 kilowatt platform of its type design, but it will be on the order of the size of a large sailboat. We would design this, we would then fabricate and build it, figure out a deployment plan where we can bring the thing out on site, measure wind and wave data and measure the response, and also do all the environmental impact measurements, the bird and bat study measurements, the fish, the lobsters, etc., and gather the data we need both to validate the design and to better understand the impact on the environment and better understand how the ocean environment interacts with these structures. So that's the in a nutshell. Any questions on this?
What do you think the schedule is for the first phase, the wave tank testing,
yep,
and then when do you think the first device would be hopefully deployed on the site?
The first year, starting out, the first year we're going to be entirely working on paper and in the wave tank. So this is really taking this year to understand, to work with our design numerical models, our computer models, build the scale model probably this summer and testing into the fall. I would like to think that we're going to have test tank data coming back roughly this time next year that fully validates our models. Then go ahead and move ahead with a full design of the 100 kilowatt platform and deployment of the 100 kilowatt platform in a year and a half from now, maybe in the summer or fall of, whether it be 2011. Yes?
Are there not other floating unattached or floating
excellent
platforms
question
in Scandinavia? And
excellent question.
And
there,
couldn't you use those?
There's one, and I visited it, and it's a fantastic floating platform.
It floats.
It is a spar design just like this. It's called the Statoil High Wind Project. You can find it online if you Google Statoil. It's STATOIL. It's a Norwegian company, and High Wind is HYWIND. Statoil High Wind. That was about a 10-year project right now. They started back right around 2000. It's a Norwegian initiative. Statoil is a Norwegian oil company. They went through roughly a $70 million development program and developed and culminated in the development and deployment of about a 2.3 megawatt platform off the coast of Norway. We went out and saw it last fall. Works great. We were out in the 6 to 9 foot seas, bouncing around out there, and this thing was floating 6 miles off the coast of Norway, and it looked like it was drilled into the bottom. It was so stable. That's proprietary technology. That is proprietary data. Statoil went and developed this. $70 million of their own money went into this. They are not interested in sharing the data to make it public so that all of us can go do this. And they have only focused on this type of design. Okay, this type of design, this is a good design. The Statoil Hydro project, the dimension from the waterline to the bottom of the tower, right at the bottom here, is about 100 meters. So you need water depth of at least 100 meters to tip the thing up before you start installing your turbine. And you need that to be in a fairly sheltered water when that happens. So when you tip the spar up, you install your turbine, you have a crane there, it's got to be fairly flat. They've got great places like these called fjords in Norway. And that's where they did this. They stood this thing up in a fjord in 150 meters of water, put the turbine on top. We don't have 100 to 150 meters of water in protected area here in Maine. So the deployment and the way they put this out there, it's really not suitable for what we're doing. So we couldn't take and copy what they did. And we also need to see maybe this solution is better, maybe this solution better, or maybe something in this area is better, something between the two. So that's why the data from this tank testing is going to be validating public models. So these will be models that will be available They're developed by NREL. They'll be available for use by engineers. And then you can use them to design right across the board.
Yes. Do they have a wire on that? Is it that Statoil?
Yes.
So that's pushing power into the mainland.
That's pushing power onto an island right off of Norway, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a
2.3 megawatt. Yep, 2.3 megawatt, 100 meters below the water, 65 meters to the hub, and I want to say that's roughly about a 35-meter radius on the blades.
This is a technical question from an earlier slide. I was hoping I'd see an answer. When you were doing the comparisons of the onshore, nearshore, and offshore, and you were saying these things are under development, they were talking about the mooring tackle, and it was 2,934.2 feet. Where did they get those numbers? I mean, 95.6 feet. They had these like very precise numbers on earlier.
Yeah,
so
we
can write them from years to years.
Yeah, that's a correction. The original depths are published in meters, and they really just cover ranges.
Okay.
The meter ranges are fairly broad range.
That was approximately 96.43.
Right.
You know, 3 decimal points is approximately. I was just curious.
What happens when you have engineering undergrads
here?
Yeah.
We're very precise.
Yeah.
It was 100
meters. Yes. I just had a question on the timing. And from what you just said, it sounds like there's still a lot of work to be done to work out specific designs, and a lot of questions still to be answered. But as far as the timing goes, if sort of permitting takes a little bit longer, any of the other work takes a little bit longer, do you anticipate, like I said, there's still a lot of work to be done, but do you anticipate possibly still being able to deploy something in the water outside of the summer-fall window? Is it something that if it got pushed back, would it be in the water in the winter months when folks are fishing, or is it kind of limited, do you think, to the summer months?
That's a good question. We have to take a look. There's a bunch of factors that play into this. We need to take a look, and we are looking at the ocean data here now. What sort of seas, we go from, 2 to 4 foot seas in August, and 5 to 15 knot average daily winds in August to something very different right now. And what is going to be the appropriate met ocean conditions, the appropriate wind wave environment to test 100 kilowatt that gets us good data?
Okay.
Probably not going to be the middle of August.
Scale wind and wave relative to the scale of the project, so that when you then think about a full scale permit being out there all winter, you can scale.
Right. The goal, a full scale turbine will be a 3 to 5 megawatt turbine, and that would be designed to be out there for a long time. 100 kilowatt turbine is a partial scale, so we may only be able to keep it out there for portions of the year. So we have to match it to the right met ocean environments, and then through public discussion, understanding the best time to go out there and work with fishermen and make sure that when we're deploying and not deploying, we're not being too much of a nuisance. I think that's going to be key. Sir?
You mentioned birds and bats and testing or checking, monitoring for those. Are you going to be using experts? Are you going to be using radar? Because I've heard an enormous difference in counts if you use radar versus experts in counts.
Yes, the plan right now is we have consultants that we'll be hiring who are experts and have done a number of studies in offshore wind using radar. And we will be using radar, possibly acoustic sensors too, as well.
Acoustics for bats.
Acoustics for bats. Radar for birds and bats. Yes.
And our goal on that is as soon as we'll be proposing that monitoring plan in our discussions with DMR and Inland Fish and Wildlife and U.S. Fish and Wildlife over the next month. And as soon as we get approval that those are satisfactory plans, we hope to start doing that monitoring.
Mm-hmm.